Front-wheel drive. We've got everything you can think of. There's nothing that Ford and Lincoln. There's not a segment that Ford and Lincoln don't that we don't compete in. So we've got something for everybody.
Yeah, I was looking to the right here. Edge, Flex, Ranger, Explorer. Heather had them put all the Expeditions to the side because I think she's going to buy all of those.
I wanted them actually out of sight.
There you go. That's right, yeah, because she will then buy all of them. And then all the different Ford F-150s, but that's kind of the point of what Ford's put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right now we've got a great inventory. I had a meeting with our corporate office today, and they were talking about how we had there's 9 Ford dealerships in the company, and they said we've got probably the best selection of vehicles and trucks and SUVs and vans out of everybody in our corporate umbrella. So we're very well prepared. Not only that, they were also talking about what a great mix of pre-owned cars we have, and it doesn't have to be a Ford to be here, and we can get you anything. If we don't have it, we can find it. There's no reason to go anywhere else.
And the 2019s that you guys still have, y'all just want rid of them at these prices. I saw one Ford F-150 for $27,000.
Yeah.
I mean, never been driven before.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And comes with a lifetime warranty. Yeah, so, we've got a good selection. We've got a smaller selection of 19s than about anybody around, but what we do have, if you were interested at all in a new car with a lifetime warranty, you need to get down here immediately, because we've sold close to 50 2019 new cars this month.
Is that right?
Yeah, that doesn't include the 20s we sold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's we're very fortunate.
And y'all are looking, I guess, to bolster your pre-owned lineup, because y'all are just instant cash right now on Kelley Blue Book offers.
Yeah, we are. And we're good for that. If you like the offer that you can get on our website, bring it in here and we'll cut you a check. You bring us a title. So, we've been very fortunate. We're having one of the best months we've had in a few years, at least maybe the last 3 or 4 years. So this month, even though it's a short month, we did pick up a day for the leap year. But
and it's a Saturday, too. Yeah, we get an extra Saturday.
Yeah, I got 5 Saturdays in this
month.
So, well, that's nothing better for a car dealer than to have 5 Saturdays. So, we're fortunate there. But we're having probably the best month, in not just a short month, but a 31-day month, too. We're having the best month we've had in 3 or 4 years right now. It's amazing.
And I don't know if people haven't checked them out, or maybe they're not familiar. You know, some people live under a rock. It's, they just haven't been in the market for a car. Maybe now they're getting to that point. The 2020, Explorer and Expedition, if you really do have a family, you're driving to the beach, you need something that's going to be reliable, that's going to be comfortable, where your kids aren't sitting there punching each other because you get the captain's chairs, those vehicles, they're just cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just really no other way to say it. They're just cool.
We try to keep them in our rental car fleet so we can have them here for people to rent for vacations and things. But I can't keep them in the rental car fleet because we can't keep them new. So I have to pull those out and sell those too. So it's an unbelievable vehicle. It's very multiple purpose vehicle. It's good for driving around here or driving to California or wherever in between. It's got all the capabilities of that.
Andy White's with us. We're at the Ted Russell Ford Kingston Pike location. They're on Parkside Drive as well. Great savings, as he's telling you about, and a ton of great options for you. It's kind of representative of the time of year. We're in the middle of the late run into basketball with March Madness right around the corner. Baseball is heating up. The start of baseball season with Tennessee has excited a lot of people.
How unbelievable is that?
Yeah.
15-1 last night, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, on against Northern Kentucky, coming off the sweep at the Round Rock Classic in Texas.
I was saying they were playing a directional Kentucky team, but yeah, it's I try to make it to 4 or 5 UT baseball games a year. I just love the atmosphere,
especially now with the porches.
The porches,
super cool, where you're grilling,
you
can have whatever
there
you want in your ice chest. I'm just saying, makes for a fun time at the ballpark.
It is very fun, and if anybody's listening, can get out. Go reserve you one of those porches. You have to reserve them. So you reserve a porch. You get so many tickets with the porch. They can come out, hang out. It's such an, if you're lucky enough to get it on a really nice spring day, it's just awesome. And the atmosphere over there, I mean, last year they played well. They did really good inside the SEC last year. They represented real well. And of course, SEC's a juggernaut again this year.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't really think of a team that is an automatic win, no matter whether they're first place in SEC or you know, last place. It doesn't matter. Anybody can beat you on any given day, and it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, we think about football and how strong it is in the SEC, and it is. Mm-hmm. But pull up a baseball poll.
Oh, yeah.
That'll tell you something about the SEC.
Yes.
Josh had a pop-up fact for us earlier this week. 17 of the top 25 teams were SEC and ACC.
Wow.
In the baseball writers.
Unbelievable. Are there any other conferences? I mean, the ACC, you can automatically start thinking about some of the great teams in the ACC. And, you know, you've got maybe a couple in the on the West Coast. Let's see, you had Oregon and Oregon. Did Oregon make it last year? And Oregon State?
Yeah, Pac-12 has good teams. Also, you know, think about in baseball, the California schools like UC Irvine, Cal State Fullerton, what it's done. Dave Serrano's team is off to a good start. I don't know what's happened this week, but they were 9-0 maybe the other day. So unbeaten. So, yeah, that's also part of it. Within the sport, it's actually probably more difficult to have that many in a power conference be successful because, you know, in football, you're not going to see a Cal State Fullerton have any kind of shot at being a top 25. You have Boise State and UCF and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the depth of teams that can compete at that level – so it actually challenges, I think, the power conference schools in some ways to be that good. And for sure in the SEC and the ACC, they make it happen.
I mean, you've got, you know, ETSU's usually got a good ball team around here. There's, a couple of the community colleges around here are ranked nationally in community college polls. I mean, baseball's way bigger in East Tennessee if you really sit and think about it. It's got a lot of great players have come out of East Tennessee. A lot of Major League Baseball players.
Well, and there was a big chunk of time too that those guys weren't going to Tennessee. So now that's sort of getting reversed, because you're right. I mean, like especially with Will Crow, that's the biggest name that I remember when he left. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, that was a dagger. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Tony Vitello effect is a big one.
Yeah.
I am so glad they locked him down, kept him happy after last season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think it seems to be at this point, 2 years in, that's as big of an automatic as we could have right now because he's doing such a phenomenal job. And, you know, I happen to be at the basketball games, and every year they'll bring the baseball team and have them all come out there and introduce them all. And you can just see a difference in the players just from sitting in the seats. There's a difference.
Yeah, no doubt. One other question. We'll kind of put you on the spot. It's Ash Wednesday, so we were talking last segment about is there something that would be the hardest to give up
in the sports world.
Heather said social media, which is a huge part of how we're following and keeping up and all that stuff. I, in a very dorkish manner, said NBA League Pass because that's how I watch the Bulls lose every night. What would be the toughest, do you think, to give up in the sports world for Andy White?
Oh, this is putting me on the spot. At this day and age, I would have to say Twitter.
It's a huge part, isn't it?
It's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Where do you watch your highlights?
I check Twitter at least once an hour after 6 o'clock just to see what's going on and who's winning what, and everything's on there.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to admit it, but you don't have to read the newspaper or watch. You know, I usually watch the local, and although I'm getting older now, I'm more interested in more than just sports, but – you know, watching local news, you know, you don't have to watch the sports anymore. You get more off of Twitter, thumbing through Twitter for 5 minutes than you do in a 7-minute segment of the sports.
Could you imagine if, like, instant scores did not exist? Like, if you really legit had to wait till the next day to find out the game that happened 12.
We used to experience that.
It was in the box scores.
Yeah.
And you kept up with the box scores. And for me, I was a gigantic baseball fan growing up. So every morning we would get up and steal the sports section out of the paper, and we would cut the box scores, the Braves games out, and we would keep them in a file, and then we could go back and look at box scores and say, well, he went 3-for-4 against the Phillies on, you know, April 15th. It was so much fun back then. But, yeah, that I remember very well. I mean,
SportsCenter, you know, it'd be every hour. So if you were waiting to see what happened in the game and you missed, it's like, well, I gotta wait 55 more minutes, and I got to be by the TV to make sure I see what happened in that game.
I was trying to find out. I had to leave during the Lady Vols game on Sunday, and I was trying to find out how that ended up.
If they hung on, there was suspense.
And I was watching the ticker at the bottom while we were at dinner. And I missed it. I saw it said Lady Vols, and then it clicked like that, and I was like, oh, man. So I sat there and watched for it and watched for it. I never did see it come back around, but, yeah, it was frustrating. But I remember very well waking up to get the box score. Of course, we always knew you watched the Cubs in the afternoon and the Braves in the Braves in the evening, because back then the Cubs, Wrigley, didn't have lights.
Yep.
So we'd go to one house for the Cubs game and back to our house or somebody else's house for the Braves game later that night. And it was that was always fun growing up.
Yeah, now if a game buffers on my cell phone, I freak out and get upset. Times have changed for sure.
Absolutely.
Andy, anything else to mention for folks out there about what's going on here at Ted Russell Ford?
Don't miss out on the next, what do we got, 3-5 days, or 4 days left. So if you count today.
Four counting today, yeah.
Yeah, that's what.
It counts.
Yeah, it counts.
That's what car dealers like to do. They don't want to take anything away from themselves. So for the next 4 days, if you get here, I promise if you even remotely like any of our cars we've got here on the lot, we will figure out a way to make it fit your budget. Even if it costs us money, we're riding a high right now, and we've got a momentum swing big time, and we just want to keep it going. And the way to do that is sell and deliver cars, because you got to bring them somewhere else to buy the parts and the service.
Yeah.
So why not bring it back here after we've treated you well buying the car? So selling a car, new or pre-owned, trickles down to everybody, and that's where everything starts. So I promise you, don't miss this opportunity, because it's going to be a big deal and save you potentially a lot of money.
That's
when,
right.
When will the first Bronco be here? Will you text me?
The smaller Broncos will be here within the next couple of months.
Okay.
But the full size Bronco, we're still a year away.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
We've already taken, I believe, the count's up to 17 people that have given us money. We don't even know the price, colors, options, or anything, but they just got in line to be able to say, I want that one or I want the next one. So it's just, I've been in the car business for 28, almost 29 years, believe it or not, and this is the most buzz I've ever seen about any car at our Toyota or Lexus store. This is unbelievable. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
I did get to see it in person at the Ford dealer show back in October, and it was everything that I was expecting it to be. And I can be let down on pretty easy, because I get so excited about something. It gets here, I'm like, eh. I was not at all about this Bronco. It exceeded my expectations.
So be on the lookout for that as well. Ted Russell Ford, they'll have you taken care of whenever you need help. Go online as well, tedrussellford.net. Phone number's at the top of the page if you need to call and ask questions or get help there as well. Andy, thanks as always for having us out and for sitting down with us.
Well, thank you guys for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you all here.
We will be here until 3 o'clock. Kingston Pike, they're also on Parkside Drive. Don't forget that as well. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for Tennessee and Arkansas tonight as Heather's perusing the internet right there for the Ford Bronco.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awesome. Yeah. And now I'm going to ask him off the air, but now the excursion rumors. There are rumors out there that the excursion's coming back in 2021, and they're trying to figure out the drivetrain and all that. So I'll get his off the air.
At that point, they'll also have to have the Ford emoji. So we'll come back here on Sports 180 here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us today. Download the WNML app. More on Arkansas's basketball team when we hear from John Neighbors coming up next segment. 103.7 The Buzz in Arkansas. He'll fill us in on Isaiah Joe, his return, his impact, but still the matchup. I think there are some advantages that Tennessee can find in that. That's at 8:30 tonight. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, we talked about NFL combine activity going on, and today we've seen measurements for the defensive linemen, linebackers out there. And how about this? The leaders in some of the different linebacker measurements, they have the tallest guys, the heaviest guys, the longest wingspan.
Oh,
Daniel Batuli from Tennessee. There you
remember,
go.
Remember, he was my, when you chose Marquez Callaway, because I was also going to choose Marquez Callaway in the face-off, I went with, yes, I think you're correct, but let me give a nod to Daniel Batuli, because I think his athleticism is awesome, and also just because of the interviews, I had no idea wingspan would also get everybody's attention all riled up. I just love Daniel Batuli. If he could work his way, what do you think is the ceiling, the highest? Can he get to a second-round draft pick, like late second round?
That
That's
sounds
high.
Probably high. Yeah, I'd say.
Would you say
Bad Take says maybe the third? I mean, maybe third or fourth. Yeah, that seems like, in terms of a ceiling conversation, probably more realistic. I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think from when he interviews, teams will be really impressed talking to Daniel. And look at his tackles. Look at him, the way that he's able to make plays for Tennessee on defense. I think he's a good prospect. Second round, though, right now would still seem unlikely.
Okay.
Did you just do an I told you so on Daniel Bettuli at the combine? Is that what just happened? Yeah, okay. That's what I thought I was hearing. I want to make sure I heard that right.
And I don't really think it was an I told you so, because I think you also, I mean, you're very high on Daniel Bettuli. I just think he's got so much upside. I was wondering how high he could climb, and I don't think he could be anywhere near the top of the second round, but like squeaking in last like four spots of the second round.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see where he goes. I am so rooting for him at this point. I just want to see him go high.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's draft class, the guys that are going through this week, Nigel Warrior's a guy that's not at the combine, but he had a good senior year. I thought this collection, the guys who ultimately helped lead Tennessee to turn things around this past season, I thought this group is why that overall Tennessee was kind of underrated from a talent standpoint this season. I didn't think it was in the Georgia, Florida, Alabama, LSU conversation. I never heard anybody suggest that either, really. But I also thought, because of the bad start, that it almost became that the overall roster and the talent level was beaten up too much. These are good football players. Some of these guys are going to have a chance to see their stock go up. Daryl Taylor, I think, is an elite athlete and was a really good playmaker at times as a pass rusher. Juwan Jennings, really good player. Marquez Callaway, really good athlete as well. So not enough depth of talent on the team, but plenty to go 7-5, which they ended up doing and were predicted to do that at the beginning of the year. So all of these guys, I think, are intriguing prospects from an NFL standpoint. I would still probably lean toward Taylor being the first Vol selected and then Juwan Jennings, but Callaway has a chance to move. Bettuli will have a chance to make a move as well.
Nigel has a way to work his way into the conversation, possibly, depending on his pro day.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how Domwood Anderson is viewed as well, because he's a really talented athlete.
And he's got that big P beside his name. He's got a lot of potential, and I think people still are wanting to figure out if they can actually tap into that. I think his size alone is very intriguing. Reminds me, obviously very different positions, reminds me of Big Dan McCullers. The NFL is always going to defer to size, because that's the one thing they cannot coach. And so if you have the prototypical body, I think you can get selected. You might not get selected high, but you still will get selected in the draft, and then they'll see what they can do with you.
Yeah, and remember, this Tennessee draft class does not include Trey Smith, who, if he had gone pro early, he would have had a chance to be the highest Vol taken in this draft. He just elected to return to Tennessee for his last year.
And that just conjures up all the comments that I felt like had to bat off and constantly swing at this past season of the fans. Like, they need to move on and play younger guys. I mean, now nobody was saying specifically these players, but you take these players that are in the combine right now, take them off this Tennessee team, there's no way Tennessee goes on a 6-game win streak to close out the season. There's just no way. It doesn't even happen. I don't know what record they would have had, but playing even a more abundance of younger players, taking Daniel Bettuli out of the mix and having two guys very inexperienced with Toa Toa and whoever, would it be Crouch or whomever, at that other spot, there's no telling what could have happened in the middle of that defense this past year.
Yeah, it really didn't make a lot of sense, the idea of, well, they need to move on from the older guys. So, I mean, they didn't have that many older guys in terms of seniors leading the way. I mean, Trey was an older guy as a junior. They had a pretty good amount of, quote, older guys. But in terms of this senior class, this was the group of leaders. And they weren't coming off the field. They were going to play for Tennessee.
And they were the stars.
Yeah.
And by the way,
the young players did play. I mean, Henry Toto was there at linebacker. They played Wanya Morris. They played Darnell Wright. Ramel Keaton got some of an opportunity. But, again, he's not going in over Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer, Marquez Callaway. No. So at this point, I think that's pretty obvious. But you're right. It was a kind of a weird conversation, I thought, after 2 to 4 weeks within the season.
So SEC rival LSU, they're getting knocked for having small hands. Daniel Bettuli getting praised for having a long wingspan. There you go. Just saying.
Yeah,
weird stuff happens.
One thing I'll add to give him credit, I did wonder after a month, okay, Nigel Warrior, he needs to play better or somebody else might get a look, like a Jalen McCullough.
Yes.
And, boy, did he play better. He played at an all-SEC level.
He did.
He deserves a ton of credit for that.
And I'm still upset that he did not get an invite to the Combine. So he's just going to have to make the most of what opportunities he does have, whether it's private workouts, definitely take full advantage and be in the best shape he can be in when Tennessee's Pro Day rolls around. But I still feel like, gosh, that was oversight on the NFL's part. He was an all-SEC player. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that he's not there this week, but he'll still have a chance to show NFL teams what he can do. What can Isaiah Joe do for Arkansas? He's back for the Razorbacks tonight. Tennessee will go up against him in Fayetteville. We'll talk about that coming up next with 90 minutes of Sports 180 to go. As we are here at Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, you can stop by here and register with the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. But how about calling back at the studio? Joel Silverberg is there to set you up. Caller number one to 656-WIN. 656-9467 qualifies for a chance to win the Coors Light Climb to the Championship tickets to see all of the games in the men's basketball tournament in Nashville next month, plus $500 spending cash. 656-WINS gives you a chance to win. We'll come back. 90 minutes of Sports 180 coming up. Tennessee-Arkansas talk next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us as the rain falls. One, drive safely. Two, reminder, they can bring vehicles in for you at Ted Russell Ford.
Yes.
Inside, I should say, where we are today, the Kingston Pike location and Parkside Drive. They'll go above and beyond to make sure you know everything, find out everything about whatever kind of vehicle you are looking for at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln.
And they got great deals right now. They will not be outdone, basically. You are going to get the best deal in town for whether it's your trade-in, the lowest price on the Explorer that you like, the Ford Edge, maybe even an awesome luxury vehicle in the Lincoln lineup. If you like the Continental, we're sitting right in front of one of the Continentals. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm surprised if that's not what they drive presidents around in. That's so fancy. It is absolutely beautiful. So they are not going to have a lower price in town. And Andy went as far to say, if you're even remotely interested, they are going to make the financing work for you. So a lot of different options there. And then home of the lifetime warranty, where they're going to take care of you for the life of the vehicle after the sale.
Ted Russell Ford is where we are today. Find them online, TedRussellFord.net. You will find Tennessee on the SEC Network tonight at 8:30 Eastern Time on the road against Arkansas at Bud Walton Arena. We'll have the game for you in Vol Network coverage starting at 8 o'clock on the Sports Animal. Had a chance to catch up with John Neighbors with 103.7 The Buzz down in Arkansas about Arkansas's basketball team. Let you know a little bit more about what's gone on over the last couple weeks, including Isaiah Joe coming back, their second leading scorer. He was back this weekend. So I asked, what's the impact of his return? What was he able to do for Arkansas against Mizzou this past weekend?
Man, it's crazy because I was looking at that Missouri game, and when it got announced that Isaiah Joe was going to play, I'm like, all right, now we're going to know that this losing streak that Arkansas went on, where they lost five straight games, and without Isaiah Joe, how much of an impact? Was it truly the missing piece for Arkansas? And I'd say that got answered pretty quickly. Coach, for 21 points against Missouri, Arkansas gets the 10-point victory, hit 5 3-pointers. I'm not saying that now that he's back, they're going to go undefeated the rest of the way, but he has certainly been the X factor that Arkansas needed in these losses, and not just for his offense, but also he's a good perimeter defender as well. And it just seemed like that it was back to the team that we saw at the start of the season and at the start of conference play, having him back in the rotation. So it's been huge for Arkansas.
Yeah, how much does it help the other guys with Isaiah Joe being back?
Oh, man, that's another thing, too. It's because Isaiah Joe, even if he doesn't hit threes or is going out and hitting threes, just the threat of him hitting threes is what is able to open up a lot of other guys. Like against Missouri, for instance, Mason Jones, we all know how good a player he is, averaging over 20 points a game, but he's really been the only offensive threat since Joe has been gone. But when you throw Joe back in the mix, now you have two legitimate scorers, especially two legitimate three-point shooters. And then that'll open up guys like Jimmy Witt and Desi Sills, who both had pretty great games. Even Adriel Bailey, the inside guy, who's only 6'7 for Arkansas, but still, it opened up their lanes, it opened up their shots, and they took advantage of it, luckily for Arkansas. So he's really helped just opening up some opportunities for the other guys. luckily for Arkansas, they took advantage of those opportunities, but we've also seen in games where they haven't. And I think that's going to be the biggest key against Tennessee is can they take advantage of the opportunity now having Isaiah Joe back in the lineup?
Yeah, because, John, you know, a couple weeks ago when these two teams played, once Tennessee got going in that game, it was all Tennessee the rest of the way. What needs to change? What interests you going into the second round of this matchup with Arkansas being at home if Arkansas is going to try to play a better game against Tennessee? Both teams really need this one, by the way, going in.
Yeah, man, and you know this a lot more than I do, I'm sure, but when I saw Tennessee and Arkansas play, I think even Isaiah Joe, if he was in the mix, it's just a bad matchup for Arkansas. You know, we know that's all about matchups, especially in college basketball. And Tennessee's just they're very aggressive. They're very long and athletic. And they're kind of the one thing that Arkansas struggles with the most, the type of team. And so that's why going into the game tonight, I'm looking at it and saying, you know, I just don't feel good about it. Even though Arkansas has Isaiah Joe back, even though they may play well, Tennessee just is a bad matchup for them. And we saw that because Arkansas's worst game of the season was against Tennessee. Because in all, I think that when the stat came out that in 9 Arkansas losses that they had, or 10, I should say, Arkansas losses they had, 7 of them were by 5 points or less. And so they don't lose in blowouts very often, but Tennessee just controlled that entire game from beginning to end. And I think a lot of it has to do with the matchup. So I just don't feel good about Arkansas's chances in this game in Bud Walton. I think that Tennessee will probably get the victory. The only way that Arkansas will get the victory, though, is if they just get hot from three, which is never a guarantee with this team.
Yeah, right, which can be a story throughout college basketball. And you're right about the matchup. That's, to me, probably the biggest reason Tennessee was able to win the way that it did. And the week before, Tennessee had been dominated on the glass by Texas A&M, and Tennessee didn't stand a chance in that. That wasn't as big of a problem for the Vols against the Razorbacks. Any thoughts on the atmosphere with Arkansas needing this win, coming off a win, with Joe being back? What's that going to be like for Tennessee on the road?
Well, I think that since it's a Wednesday night game at 7:30 Central Time, it's really tough for anybody in SEC, and I'm sure you guys know this too. That's just tough, those midweek games, especially the late ones, for people to really get out there. But the thing about Razorback fans, especially basketball fans, there's always going to be a strong presence of an atmosphere, even if it's only half full. So Bud Walton can fit 19,200. I would probably guess there's going to be at least 14,000, maybe 15,000 people there tonight. And they're always going to bring it. It's always a tough place to play in Bud Walton Arena. Arkansas lost a bunch of games at home this year, which is very unheard of. But I expect that the atmosphere will be there. The question is going to be, is Arkansas going to give them enough to keep that atmosphere and that energy going? Because if Tennessee comes in and takes Arkansas out of the game early, and especially can't let them get on the run like they're known to do, then the atmosphere won't be there, just like in any place. But it'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be a pretty great crowd. But Arkansas gets off to slow starts, and they can't afford that against Tennessee.
What have you thought of just SEC basketball this season in a league where there have been coaching changes coming in? Arkansas, part of that with Eric Musselman, and kind of a transitioning year. What have you thought of what you've seen in the league this season?
Man, it's been a strange year to me. I know, because we knew Kentucky's Kentucky. They're always going to be there. They're always going to be at the top. I'm really surprised by Auburn and LSU, though. Not to say that I've expected them to be bad, but for both of those teams to have the years that they did last year and the success they had, they lost a few pieces to come back and really pick up right where they left off has been really impressive. But if you look at, besides those three teams, though, you look at Florida, who's 9-5 in conference, but 17-10 overall. You look at Mississippi State, who's 8-6 in conference, 17-10 overall. Like, the non-conference was not very kind to a lot of teams in the SEC, and that's really where I'm scratching my head. I still think it's a strong conference. I think the SEC will still get at least 5 teams into the tournament. But I just don't know if there's that one dominant team that'll make that run to the Final Four. Anything can happen in the tournament, for sure. But I just don't see a team that really stands out to me as like, wow, this team has a chance to win it all. They have a bunch of good teams, not any great teams. But that usually makes for some great upsets when the tournament time comes around, too.
John Neighbors talking about Arkansas, Tennessee's opponent tonight, as well as basketball in the SEC. I would still say, I think moving forward, the league with some of the coaching changes that have taken place will be good for schools like Arkansas, Alabama, Texas A&M. That's probably the one where I would bet most strongly, and I think this is going to work out in their favor,
yeah,
would be Buzz Williams and Texas A&M. But Musselman's a good coach at Arkansas, and Nate Oates, I think, is the same deal. They lost last night, and John Petty had that injury, so it's a tough loss against Mississippi State, which really needed that one, by the way. But still, long-term, I think those – coaching change that we saw last offseason are going to pay off. I would bet on at least most of those.
We still don't know, though, for like Georgia's situation, you know, with Tom Crean.
Let's see long term.
Yeah, I think that's the one that's the most up in the air. And then also because
of the newer hires.
Yeah, because he did level up. I know it's not from last offseason, but the season
before.
But he's
only in year two,
Yeah, but like also Kermit Davis. You know, what is he going to be able to do? And I think people will probably more appreciate what Andy Kennedy did down there than they did in the moment, or at least towards the end of his tenure.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll see how it plays out long-term for Kermit Davis at Ole Miss. There are still that it's to be determined, even those that I just named that I said, yeah, I like what they're going to do. I'll be honest, I liked Avery Johnson when he was hired at Alabama. This is a guy that was coach of the year in the NBA.
Yeah.
Went to the NBA Finals as a coach.
Recruiting,
and couldn't
man.
Get it done at Alabama. Konzo at Missouri next year will probably be a big year. As year one, they went to the NCAA tournament. Last 2 years haven't been as good. So with the money that he's making, they will expect more moving forward. And then, you know, Florida has such high expectations. They've been good at Florida with Mike White.
An Elite Eight,
They'll expect more moving forward. So,
and I think more consistency. I mean, shouldn't Florida hands down be, they should be in the conversation, especially this year, for a top three team in the league, and they're just not there. So,
yes.
Especially in a
considering
year.
Considering the other teams, I mean, they're good in the league. Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, those are good teams. Florida was expected to be better at the beginning of the year, and I think should have been.
Yeah, and so I just feel like the criticism around Mike White, I think, is very warranted, but people also have to remember he has done a good job there. It just hasn't been elite what Florida has wanted.
Quick check-in on the people before we end this segment. Tennessee is a 4.5-point underdog at Arkansas tonight. 59% of the bets, according to the Action Network, are on Arkansas.
Oh, so, yeah, take the Vols.
You like that?
I think they could win by two, yeah.
You like that?
Go with the Vols.
Okay. We'll come back. Final segment
those
here.
People.
This hour of Sports 180. We are with you until 3 o'clock at Ted Russell Ford, the Kingston Pike location on Parkside Drive as well. An update, Aaron Rodgers in the mix on the CBA talk behind the scenes as well. We'll update you on that within the NFL coming up next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Little argument here. Girl Scout cookies always brings up some trouble.
Well, especially when Bad Take Andy is there, which you picked a delicious cookie, the Samoa. It's number two on the Mount Rushmore of Girl Scout cookies. It's not number one. Toothpaste cookie. Yeah, you're terrible.
Samoa, more like Sanoa. Thank you on that one. I would go tag along for the record.
Worst choice I've heard. Would not put it on the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll have my good cookies over to the side. They have a bunch of good cookies. Shout out to the Girl Scout cookies. As we are here today, just a beautiful day here in
it's
East Tennessee.
Gorgeous.
We are inside. They'll take care of you inside if you need at Ted Russell Ford. We're at the Kingston Pike location. They're on Parkside Drive as well.
Yeah, featured models all on the website. You can browse before you come down here and ask them. Say, hey, I saw the 2019 F-150 or 2020 F-250 King Ranch. Can you bring it in the showroom? They're going to park it inside to where you can look over this amazing vehicle with your own two eyes, sit in it, drive it, whatever you want to do. And Andy said today, over the next 4 days, they're trying to close out one of the biggest months they have had over the last couple of years. They get an extra day to do it, Josh Ward, with it being leap year on Saturday. So they are going to make a deal, period. You are not going to leave here. If you're thinking about buying a car, you're not going to leave without driving off in your new car, because they're going to get the financing done for you, even if it costs them money. We can run the tape back.
Yep.
Andy said it on
we got it archived.
Airways.
Yep, we podcasted it and everything. So just pull the tape, download, subscribe, and stop by Ted Russell Ford and play it for him.
Yeah, and then when you drive off the lot in my dream car, like a 2020 Expedition, you can give us a little shout out. Maybe you could come pick me up and just let me enjoy your new car smell.
They'll probably stick to the shout-out. We're having a good time here. Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, will be here until 3 o'clock. Find him online as well, tedrussellford.net. I saw this from Adam Schefter covering the NFL for ESPN. He says Richard Sherman was one of the loudest voices against the proposed CBA last week. Aaron Rodgers was one of the biggest objectors last night, according to sources. Rodgers wants even more dramatic changes to the offseason program that includes more free time for the players. Now, a former NFL...
does that mean?
Yeah, that's probably not going to read well to a lot of fans. Jeff Schwartz is a former NFL offensive lineman. His brother Mitchell just won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, now in the media. Said this, I wish Rodgers was more vocal about post-career health benefits. We're barely in the facility during the offseason. How many changes do we need there? So he's saying that's not that big of a deal. Shouldn't be as big of a talking point for the players.
Yeah, and I get the fact that we are very much living in a society where more and more people are working from home or working remotely. But you play a team sport. You're the quarterback of a team sport. You probably need to be in the facility some during the offseason. I don't think that's too much to ask, His Royal Highness. I got a lot of problems. They all start with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't like his attitude.
I do wonder what fan reaction will be, because it is a battle between millionaires and billionaires, the billionaires being the owners in this case, but the players are the ones the fans watch and know and connect with. So, yeah, something like that's probably not – I would like to know more information on it, but it's not going to read well to a lot of NFL fans probably if this is something that gets dragged out. If they do work something out soon, then nobody's going to care about that.
Aaron Rodgers also is a marquee player. He is one of the faces of the NFL. So whenever he speaks, he has a lot of gravity. He carries a lot of weight with his words. I think when you wait this long to make a comment and make a statement, it needs to be well-researched and well-versed. And again, if there are other things that are going to improve the overall health of future NFL players financially and on the field, it's his responsibility to make those points known. It really is, because you are a leader out there. I just think he's very selfish. It's just my opinion.
Yeah. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm curious here. I mean, part of my confusion, I guess, is one, it's difficult to get all the details of what's going on behind the scenes. You see a video today from Marquise Pouncey, the Steelers offensive lineman, and he was going on a profanity-laced rant, posted that, which I don't think that's the right move either.
Agree.
I saw some back and forth from former players on whether Richard Sherman and J.J. Watt going public on Twitter with their issues with the CBA, if that's the right way to handle the negotiations, or if it's better just, okay, keep that behind the scenes, and then as it gets worked out, it gets worked out. And some stuff's still going to come out, and they're just going to be reporting and all that. But, that is a reminder that the players are going to have different opinions. There are going to be some players that say, let's get a deal done. The vote last week from players who were involved was split almost down the middle. So that's part of the reason, because you're going to find differing opinions from different players within the league. And of course you have players who, Aaron Rodgers has made a number of dollars that he can't count.
Over $100 million, right?
But you have players in the league that they're nowhere near that conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
and they're thinking
you're going to have different needs and wants depending on who you are in the league.
And I don't know how you make it work. I'm not in the business of private insurance, but I would like to see something, and this is possible in Major League Baseball with different things that you can put in your contract, because I know somebody that wrote out a large monetary bonus, and he put it on the back end of his deal for health insurance into his 60s, locked in at a certain rate. I would like to see these guys have access to very affordable health care and just top-notch treatments, post-playing career, however they can work that out. That would be something that would be very high on my priority list.
Yeah, I would think that Jeff Schwartz, who I mentioned a moment ago, we're probably going to see a lot of probably current and former players that would agree with him that the healthcare discussion should get more attention, not off-season training plans. We'll come back for another hour of Sports 180. We will talk to Jeff Carr, Knoxville Ice Bears coach, to begin the final hour of the show. Braden Gall at 2:30 talking some college football with us as we're at Ted Russell Ford on Kingston Pike here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.